And of course, here was the problem, and that is that God had previously revealed to Moses specifically how that very special artifact, which, you know, at that time, it was symbolic of God's power and presence, was to be transported. So clear instructions were given to Moses about moving the ark, that it was to be carried in a certain way by the long poles, and they were made of acacia wood, and they were overlaid in gold, just like the ark itself. And those poles were then inserted into four solid gold rings on the corners of the ark, and the corners. And then those poles were to be carried on the shoulders of not only those of a certain tribe of Israel, the Levites, but of a certain family line within the tribe of Levi, the sons of Kohath. So this had all been written down by Moses, and so it was a part of the scripture they had at the time. But centuries later, by the time David wanted to move the ark, there's absolutely no indication at all that these clear instructions were ever considered, let alone followed. So, you know, let's go to 1 Chronicles 13, and we'll quickly review the event here. 1 Chronicles 13, 1. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 1. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, so this seemed very sincere, and it was, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. And this would have been quite a number of years. Then all the verse 4, then all the assembly said they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirith Yearim. Now skip to verse 7, and here's where the problem actually begins. So they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. And so, as well intended as this may have been, the ark was not moved in the way it should have been, according to the instructions they had in Scripture. Verse 8, then David and all Israel played before God with all their might. I mean, they went all out here. It says, with singing, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. So, you know, you can really see the excitement here, the zeal and the sincerity and the festive music. It says David wanted as many people possible to be a part of this dramatic event. And obviously, it took some time to organize. It said David met with the various leaders of Israel. So this just wasn't a highly emotional, spur-of-the-moment thing on his part alone. So the plans were made. The people gathered. And this would have been a big deal back at that time. I mean, that's the way it's presented here. But in all the hoopla, and all the excitement of God's specific instructions and commands with respect to moving the ark were completely ignored. And even though they had them in writing there. Now, verse 9, it said, and when they came to Chidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. The animals somehow began to lose their footing. There might have been some kind of rut in the road or whatever. But verse 10, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. So, you know, very quickly, in the snap of a finger, I mean, that day went from one of tremendous celebration to sudden tragedy. And it says in verse 11, it says, and David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how could I bring the ark of God to me? So what otherwise would have been quite a memorable national event, a very positive one, and this would have been, you know, would have had tremendous symbolic meaning to those living at the time. And it turned out instead to be one of shock and tragedy. And why? Because in spite of all the great human excitement there, somehow in the midst of this, God's specific instructions for moving the ark weren't even consulted. And not one person in the leadership hierarchy of Israel, if you read the account, is mentioned as even bringing this up. Not the Levites, and not those of the lineage of Kohath, not even King David. So, you know, it was just carelessly overlooked. But in time, and I'm sure after much reflection, the lesson was learned, which was this. If we're going to worship God, we need to do it the way He tells us and not be careless either by adding to His instructions or taking away from them or even worse, totally ignoring them in the first place, which is seems to be what happened here. Now, just a page or two later, over in 1 Chronicles 15, we'll skip 14. It was a little history there. But we'll go to 1 Chronicles 15:1. And we see that David came to understand a few things. 1 Chronicles 15:1. It says, David built houses for himself in the city of David. And this would have taken some time as well. So clearly he had the time to give this matter some sober thought. And he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem, just like the first time, to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. And David called, verse 11, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest and for the Levites. And then name some of them, but verse 12, then he said to them, you are of the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. So David, he accepted the blame too. So the priest and the Levite sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel and the children of the Levites, and this would have been the sons of Kohath, bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. So the basic point here is when it comes to having a connection with God, a relationship with God, worshiping God, when we're dealing with the things of God and we want His involvement in our lives, we have to do it the way He specifies and not according to our own ideas or traditions, no matter how popular those customs may be in the cultural surroundings we happen to be living in at the time. So, here we are now on December 21st at the height of the Christmas season, and people are excited and they're motivated, and many of them may be as totally sincere and as well-meaning now as King David and all those involved in moving the ark was then. But the foundational question that needs to be asked about Christmas celebrations in our day, as it should have been asked by those wanting to transport the Ark of the Covenant, is this. Would God have us do this the way we are planning on doing it? Now, what does this account of moving the Ark have to do with us living now in the year 2019? Well, it has to do with the fact that human beings long ago, about the early 300s, the early part of the 4th century AD, they latched onto very ancient and very unbiblical celebrations, and that their culture would have been very familiar with, and which took place around the winter solstice. And then over time, they integrated these into a framework of celebrating the birth of Christ. But if the Bible be our guide, nowhere in either the Old Testament or especially the New, directly or by implication, will you find any command to ever celebrate the birth of Christ in the first place? Nowhere. And this seems to be something that is consistently overlooked. Now, it's true that the New Testament records, as a matter of historical record, the birth of Christ and the events, you know, the incredible events leading up to it. And yes, while this can be inspiring to read, how the ancient prophecies were about to be fulfilled and so on, nevertheless, Scripture never tells us ever to commemorate these events. Or more specifically, the birth of Christ as a human being. Never once. Okay, so what does Scripture tell us to do with respect to commemorating or worshiping Christ then? We'll read the very words of Christ himself as quoted by the Apostle Paul, and that's over in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and starting in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as far as the commemoration goes, if you want to thank and honor Christ, he clearly tells you not only what to do, but by example, when to do it, because the first time this exact ceremony with the bread and the wine happened, you know, with the original apostles, was on Passover in the spring of the year, which had been commanded many centuries ago when ancient Israel was about to be delivered out of Egyptian slavery. So verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, this is just something to be reminded of and reinforced during this time of year, that if we desire to fear and honor our Maker, we need to do it the way He reveals. And not according to the ideas of man-made traditions, no matter how colorful or how sentimental or well-intended they may be, just as King David learned when he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. You know, God reveals in Scripture how and when to collectively worship Him in spirit and truth. And that source, Scripture, is where we need to get our specific instructions from.